Friends, welcome. Chasing History, Stories Behind Lost Legends, has a gift for finding the stories we collectively agreed to look away from and then looking directly at them anyway. The execution of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg in 1953 remains one of the most controversial events in American legal history. Accused of espionage during the Cold War era, their case not only highlighted the intense fears surrounding communism, but also raised profound ethical questions about justice, loyalty, and the role of government in society. As new information continues to surface, the narrative surrounding Ethel Rosenberg's involvement and the broader implications of the case remains as contentious as ever. A day that changed everything. On July 17, 1950, a quiet morning in a three-bedroom apartment on the Lower East Side of Manhattan turned into a scene of chaos for 7-year-old Michael Rosenberg. He was nestled in the living room, captivated by the radio as the thrilling tale of the Lone Ranger unfolded. The masked hero was in the midst of a gripping storyline about being framed, and young Michael was completely absorbed, unaware that his own life was about to mirror that narrative chillingly. In the midst of the Lone Ranger's adventures, the atmosphere in the apartment shifted dramatically. Suddenly, the living room was filled with strangers, men in suits, faces stern and authoritative. Michael felt the tension in the air as his mother, Ethel, took charge. "I want a lawyer," she declared, her voice steady despite the panic that was likely swirling inside her. Little did Michael know, this was just the beginning of a tumultuous journey that would change their lives forever. By the next day, the Rosenbergs were pleading their case to the American people. They stood firm, proclaiming their innocence and insisting they were not communists, but victims of a frame-up. The fervor of the Cold War had gripped the nation, and the accusations against them were explosive. The media frenzy that followed thrust the family into the national spotlight, but for Michael and his younger brother, Robbie, who was only 3, the impact was immediate and profound. The trial that captivated a nation. In 1951, the trial of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg began, and their name quickly became synonymous with espionage in every American household. The media frenzy surrounding the case was relentless, painting a vivid picture of the couple's lives leading up to the accusations. What emerged was a compelling backstory that added layers to their narrative. Julius Rosenberg was the son of Jewish refugees who had fled persecution, a struggle that shaped his family's life in America. His father, Harry Rosenberg, was a passionate trade unionist who fought for workers' rights in the garment industry. His activism led to him being fired and blacklisted for protesting the sweatshop conditions that plagued many workers during that time. The Great Depression further complicated their circumstances, instilling a deep sense of hardship and resilience in the family. Despite the challenges, Julius excelled academically and went on to attend college, where he became actively involved in student politics. His concerns about the persecution of Jews in Europe and the rise of fascism fueled his political convictions. Driven by a desire for social justice, he joined the Young Communist League and later became a member of the Communist Party, seeking solutions to the inequalities he witnessed. Ethel Greenglass grew up in a modest household, her father running a small sewing machine repair shop. Bright and fun-loving, she navigated her early years with a vibrant spirit, and after high school, she pursued a secretarial course, a challenging endeavor during the Great Depression. Despite the economic hardships, Ethel secured a position as a clerk at a shipping company, where her tenacity truly shone. In a bold move that would mark her as a leader, Ethel organized a strike involving 150 of her female co-workers, standing up for their rights in a workplace that often overlooked their contributions. Her employers retaliated by firing her, but Ethel didn't back down. She filed a grievance with the National Labor Relations Board, showcasing her determination and commitment to justice. In a significant victory, she won her case. A union of politics and passion. Ethel and Julius met in 1936 at a union fundraiser, where a shared commitment to social justice sparked an immediate connection. They married in 1939, united not just by love, but by fervent political discussions. Both were staunch supporters of the Soviet system, turning a blind eye to the darker realities of Stalin's regime, including the purges and the notorious gulags. For Julius, a Jewish man deeply concerned about Hitler's ascendance, the Soviet Union represented a counterbalance to fascism, even amid its troubling practices. Despite the signing of the Non-Aggression Pact between the Soviet Union and Germany, Julius remained steadfast in his support for the Soviets and opposed American involvement in the war. However, the tide turned dramatically with Germany's invasion of Russia and the bombing of Pearl Harbor. These pivotal events shifted Julius's perspective, igniting a sense of urgency for America to engage in the conflict. He began working as a civilian for the Army Signal Corps, contributing to the war effort in a new capacity. Yet, when confronted with his membership in the Communist Party, Julius chose to lie, denying his affiliation. Family affair. After the birth of their two children, the Rosenbergs shifted their focus from politics to family, prioritizing their financial survival in a challenging post-war environment. The pressures of parenthood and the realities of daily life took center stage, but the shadows of their political past never faded. During this time, the government would later allege that Julius was approached by a contact who asked him to gather information about new operations in New Mexico, specifically regarding security conditions in a place called Los Alamos and a top-secret project called the Manhattan Project. Julius turned to Ethel's family for assistance, particularly her younger brother, David Greenglass. David had been active in the Young Communist Party and was employed at Los Alamos as a machinist, where he was involved in creating critical components for the atomic bomb. This connection would ultimately intertwine the Rosenbergs' family ties with allegations of espionage, setting the stage for a tumultuous chapter in their lives. A web of espionage. During a leave from his work at Los Alamos, David Greenglass provided his brother-in-law, Julius Rosenberg, with a sketch of a specialized lens he had been developing. This seemingly innocuous exchange would have profound implications. Shortly thereafter, David met with a Russian courier named Anatoly Yakovlev, who probed him further about the details of his work. It is important to note that David's role as a machinist on the project gave him detailed knowledge of the construction and operation of the atomic bomb parts. David was instructed to expect a messenger named Raymond in New Mexico. To ensure secure communication, they devised a clever system. A torn piece of a jello box would serve as an identification marker. Raymond would possess one half, while the green glass would keep the other. It was through this meeting that Raymond obtained crucial information regarding the bomb's trigger mechanism. This intelligence was part of a larger effort that would ultimately culminate in the U.S. decision to drop two atomic bombs on Japan, marking a pivotal moment that led to the official end of World War II. The Iron Curtain falls. Soon after World War II ended, the geopolitical landscape was tense. The United States had developed the atomic bomb, giving it a strategic advantage that the Soviets viewed as a direct threat to their security. Relations between the U.S. and the Soviet Union were strained, particularly after World War II. The communist movement was gaining momentum, exemplified by Mao Zedong's Red Army taking control of mainland China. Amid this backdrop of escalating anti-communist fervor, Senator Joseph McCarthy emerged as a prominent figure in the campaign to identify and root out disloyal Americans. His tactics fueled a nationwide paranoia. The rising tide of hysteria. As hysteria over communism spread throughout the United States, the case of Whitaker Chambers, a senior editor at Time magazine, became a focal point of fear and suspicion. Encouraged by Congressman Richard Nixon, Chambers made explosive accusations against Alger Hiss, claiming he had passed State Department secrets to the Soviets. Hiss adamantly proclaimed his innocence, but Nixon, serving on the House Un-American Activities Committee, was determined to prove him guilty. The trial took a bizarre turn when Hiss was ultimately convicted of perjury for concealing microfilm within a pumpkin on his farm, a detail that would become infamous in the annals of American political history. He was sentenced to 4 years in prison, a dramatic reflection of the era's paranoia and the lengths to which the government would go to root out perceived disloyalty. But how did this connect to the Rosenbergs? In the summer of 1949, while Hiss's trial unfolded, the Soviets detonated their first atomic weapon, a shocking development that caught the U.S. off guard. American intelligence had believed it would take years for the Soviets to reach such a level of scientific advancement, leading to mounting fears that someone within the U.S. had leaked atomic secrets to the enemy. This atmosphere of suspicion heightened public and governmental scrutiny, setting the stage for the Rosenberg case, the Fuchs revelation. On February 2, 1950, British scientist Klaus Fuchs, who had played a pivotal role in the Manhattan Project at Los Alamos, was arrested in the United Kingdom, charged with espionage for supplying sensitive information to the Soviets. Fuchs received a 14-year prison sentence, the maximum allowed under British law. Fuchs's arrest marked a significant turning point in the investigation into American espionage activities. His testimony led investigators to the Rosenbergs, as he revealed that his Russian contacts were facilitated by a courier known only as Raymond. Under intense questioning, it was uncovered that this courier was none other than Harry Gold, the same man who had previously met with David Greenglass, Ethel Rosenberg's brother, at Los Alamos. In June, the FBI apprehended David Greenglass, who swiftly confessed to his involvement in espionage and implicated several family members, including his wife, Ruth, his sister, Ethel, and his brother-in-law, Julius. Authorities arrested Julius on July 17th and Ethel on August 11th. Both Henry Gold and David Greenglass pleaded guilty to their charges, but the Rosenbergs maintained their innocence throughout the proceedings. In a controversial turn, David's cooperation in providing evidence against Ethel and Julius led to Ruth Greenglass avoiding prosecution entirely. This tangled web of betrayal and loyalty would shape the narrative of one of the most infamous espionage cases in American history. A Cold War showdown. The trial of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg commenced on March 6, 1951, after the couple had spent nearly a year in jail, unable to post the hefty bail of $100,000 each. Judge Irving Kaufman presided over the proceedings, while Emanuel Block, a civil rights lawyer with no prior experience in criminal cases, represented the defense. The prosecution was led by U.S. Attorney Irving C. Paul, with Roy Cohn as a key member of the team. During the opening remarks, the prosecution asserted that the Rosenbergs' true allegiance lay with communism rather than the United States. The defense quickly objected, arguing that the trial should focus solely on the act of espionage, not on political ideologies. They moved for a mistrial, claiming the prosecution's statements were inflammatory and irrelevant. This contentious beginning set the stage for what many viewed as a Cold War witch trial. Brother versus sister. David Greenglass's testimony proved to be the most damaging evidence against the Rosenbergs. He claimed that Julius had approached him regarding espionage and that during two visits to New York while working on the Manhattan Project, he provided Julius with sketches and technical descriptions of nuclear materials. David further stated that Ethel typed up his notes, citing his poor handwriting as the reason. However, the notes presented during the trial were not the original documents supposedly passed to the Soviets, but sketches David created just before the trial began. Under oath, a scientist testified that these sketches were reasonably accurate and would significantly save time for anyone trying to replicate a similar type of explosion. Additionally, David revealed that Julius had given him $500 to secure passports for himself and his family when it seemed the FBI was closing in. This testimony painted a vivid picture of the Rosenbergs' alleged conspiracy and heightened the stakes of the trial dramatically. The turning point. In a surprising move, the Rosenbergs' defense attorney chose not to cross-examine David Greenglass or Harry Gold, who supported his testimony. After 9 days of witness accounts, the defense finally called Julius to the stand. He vehemently denied any involvement in espionage, claiming instead that his brother-in-law David had committed the crime out of financial desperation. During cross-examination, however, Julius refused to answer questions about his loyalty to the Communist Party, a stance Ethel echoed when she took the stand. The trial spanned 3 weeks, culminating in just one night of jury deliberation before they returned a guilty verdict. At sentencing, Judge Irving Kaufman delivered a damning statement asserting that the Rosenbergs' actions had contributed to the outbreak of the Korean War and resulted in approximately 50,000 casualties. He ominously warned that millions more could pay the price for their treason. Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were sentenced to death by electric chair. A divided nation. The judgment against the Rosenbergs deeply divided the country, with many Americans believing that the death sentence was excessively harsh, particularly for Ethel, who had not seen her sons in over a year. An outpouring of letters to the White House urged President Eisenhower to grant executive clemency. However, Eisenhower declined, citing the grave nature of their betrayal, which he argued threatened national security. As the execution date approached in June 1953, protests intensified. Public sentiment grew more vocal, with demonstrators advocating for the couple's lives. All appeals made by the Rosenbergs, including those submitted to the U.S. Supreme Court, were dismissed. June 19, 1953, marked a tragic day, not only as the date of their execution, but also as their wedding anniversary. By 8:30 p.m., Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were pronounced dead. The controversy surrounding Ethel Rosenberg. While many today consider Julius Rosenberg guilty based on declassified Soviet correspondence, questions still linger about Ethel's involvement and whether she was innocent of any actual wrongdoing. Though she supported her husband, did she engage in actions that could be deemed treasonous? Some believe that the prosecution pressured David Greenglass to implicate his sister to protect his own wife. Notably, pretrial statements from both David and his wife Ruth did not implicate Ethel. David even claimed at one point that Ethel had no involvement. However, under cross-examination, his testimony shifted dramatically. In 1951, the defense team was unaware of these inconsistencies, as these earlier statements were not accessible to them. Recent FBI documentation reveals that investigators pressured for more incriminating evidence against Ethel, hoping that such pressure would lead Julius to confess to save her from execution. Compounding the trial's complications, the scientists who testified were restricted from communicating with defense attorneys, as their information was deemed too sensitive for national security concerns. This left the defense unable to adequately counter the potentially damaging statements provided by witnesses, many of whom had never even worked on the atomic bomb. This intricate web of pressures and questionable testimonies has continued to fuel debate over the Rosenbergs' guilt and the fairness of their trial. Final thoughts. Were Ethel and Julius Rosenberg guilty of passing secrets to the Soviet Union? Recent revelations suggest that Julius indeed managed a significant Soviet spy network in New York under the direction of Anatoly Yakovlev, with Ethel acting as an accessory. In his 1990 memoirs, Nikita Khrushchev referenced tape-recorded interviews with former Soviet leader Joseph Stalin, indicating that the Rosenbergs provided substantial assistance to the Soviet cause. Yet the full truth may never be known, clouded by decades of secrecy and conflicting narratives. It's important to consider the fairness of the trial itself, which has been widely criticized. The complexities surrounding the case raise questions about the integrity of the legal process and whether the Rosenbergs received a just trial amid the broader context of Cold War tensions. For those hungry to explore more, here are some amazing books I recommend. The Brother, The Untold Story of the Rosenberg Case by Sam Roberts. 60 years after their execution in June 1953 for conspiring to steal atomic secrets, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg remain the subjects of great emotional debate and acrimony. The man whose testimony almost single-handedly convicted them was Ethel Rosenberg's own brother, David Greenglass. Though the Rosenbergs were executed, Greenglass served a mere 10 years in prison, after which, with a new name, he disappeared. But journalist Sam Roberts found Greenglass and then managed to convince him to talk about everything that had happened. Ethel Rosenberg by Anne Seba. 70 years after her trial, this is the first time Ethel's story has been told, with the full use of the dramatic and tragic prison letters she exchanged with her husband, her lawyer, and her psychotherapist over a 3-year period, two of them in solitary confinement. Hers is the resonant story of what happens when a government motivated by fear tramples on the rights of its citizens. Until next time, keep reading and stay caffeinated.